Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on Sports Illustrated podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI Beat Writer and my friend Jake Nichols. We're recording this podcast one day before Tennessee goes toe-to-toe with Bowling Green to kick off the 2021 football season. I couldn't be more excited, people, for watching and reporting on Tennessee football games, of course, but maybe more importantly, just excited for the atmosphere of Neyland itself, and I know Jake is too. And Jake, I know there is a lot, but if you had to pick one thing you are most excited for about this game tomorrow, what would it be, Matt?
I think it's to see how Joe Milton takes control of Josh Heupel's offense. We've heard so much about this arm in the offseason. We've seen it on a few occasions. You can go back and watch a few videos I've put out from practice where he just sends moonshots down the field. And, you know, the receivers have talked about the fact that he can throw it 70 to 80 yards, and that at the beginning of fall camp, you know, a lot of guys stopped in their routes because they were like, okay, I've gone too far, you know, he can't throw it this far. And then later in a conversation with him, he's like, no, keep going, like, I can throw it, you know, I got this, you know. Yeah. just keep running. And so I think that's going to be the biggest thing I'm excited for tomorrow, is to see how quickly Milton is able to air it out in this offense and how quickly we're able to see guys like Jalen Hyatt and Velus Jones succeed under that big arm. But, you know, more than just the arm, I think I'm just excited to see the offense as a whole, because while they've talked about how much this offense is predicated on airing it out, they've also, you know, reiterated that that they run it more than people think, that, you know, that it's not all about the passing game here. And so I think I'm really excited as well to see how Tyon Evans and Jabari Small really fit into this scheme, because I think that that they could both be poised for some big seasons. So a lot of excitement, obviously, Jack, around Tennessee football right now, but a lot of big questions as well that we will get our first answers to tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the running backs. Like, obviously, I feel like most every Tennessee fan is going to be excited to see what Joe Milton has in store, but the running backs especially is what I'm excited to see. Obviously, Ty Chandler and Eric Gray are gone, so I'm curious and excited to see who fills those shoes, you know, the best, and who becomes really efficient in that backfield.
It's going to be your first two are and Jerry Mack has already said this in press conferences, but your first two are going to be Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. Right. But those two together, I think, will make for quite a tandem. Obviously, inexperience among both of them, but Small is kind of your more finesse back, more of a guy to duck around defenders. And then Tyon Evans, that explosiveness and power that he brings from being, if I remember right, the top ranked player from JUCO last season at Hutchinson Community College. The power that he brings should really complement Jabari Small well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Tyon get in maybe even the second or third play of the game, but both of them getting time, I think, on that first series. But then aside from them, you know, obviously T. Hodge has entered the transfer portal, and we wish the Maryville product well. But you also look at guys like D. Beckwith, who's, you know, 6'5" at a running back spot, and Tennessee hasn't had a guy like that since Jalen Hurd. And so you have to think that Tennessee is going to find some creative ways to mix into that position, maybe work him out into the flat a little bit. And then Jalen Wright, obviously, you can't overlook him. He's just a freshman, but he has got some serious speed that I think could pay off well if Tennessee uses that in the right situation. But this is a running back room that this coaching staff is extremely excited about. And so despite all the talk about Joe Milton's arm and what he could bring to the table, do not overlook this stable of running backs. And like I said, they're young, they're inexperienced, but there is plenty of upside in that group.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, that's what we're going to be getting into, obviously, today, everybody, just talking about the Bowling Green game, previewing it pretty straight up. That's all we're going to do here. It's tomorrow, September 2nd, at 8 p.m. Eastern. As Jake said, first game, it's going to be really electric. Stadium's going to be rocking. And Jake, other than ball football, I'm also excited about something else. Do you know what that is?
I'm going to guess Accur Travel Company.
Absolutely. Telling everyone about Accur Travel Company by Dream Vacations. Because if you're looking to book travel at any time during the year but don't want to do all the work, just be sure and contact our friends Beth and Price at Accur Travel Company so that they can just do all the work for you. They're currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. $50 for free. I mean, what's there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Jake. So getting into this game here, getting into the weeds, we can go as deep as we want here on this pod. So first things first, the offense, Joe Milton leading it, Josh Heupel, first game coaching. What do you expect to see right out of the gate from this Ball offense tomorrow night?
I expect them to test the waters early with Joe Milton. I expect, if not a deep shot, then at least several intermediate throws to kind of get Joe Milton warmed up and get him used to throwing these guys in live bullet situations. But I expect to see a lot of passing yards racked up early, and I expect Tennessee to be able to put the Falcons away pretty easily tomorrow, maybe even just, you know, in the first half. So I think it's going to be all Tennessee. But I think that, like I said, that Josh Heupel is going to get Joe Milton acclimated early, going to stretch the field some to go ahead and get his wide receivers used to catching some deep balls from number seven, and go ahead and just try to put it on Bowling Green as early as possible. Because we talked about it a little bit, you know, off record or before we started taping, and you're facing a Bowling Green defense that has a new defensive coordinator, a team that went winless in 2020, and a team that has not obviously had its last win since 2019. And so Scott Leffler, Bowling Green's coach, talked the other day about how Joe Milton fits Josh Heupel's system and about the threat that he brings to the table. So I think that you see Heupel getting Milton used to things early and obviously putting a lot on his running backs as well, going ahead and getting them spread out some, like I mentioned, with Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. And then I think that also you see a lot of early success from Tennessee's defense, maybe not necessarily from the pass rush, because I think that's still something to be improved upon as we go forward. They've talked about the defensive line making strides, but, you know, they don't necessarily have kind of that monster guy yet. So I think that you can expect to see a lot of early success from Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell, especially Mitchell filling those gaps and just, you know, like I said, just putting it on the Falcons early and trying to go ahead and build up a lead in that first quarter, which is what I fully expect. And, you know, obviously the improbable could happen. We've seen it before, Georgia State in 2019. Obviously, no one wants to relive anything like that.
But, absolutely.
I think Tennessee do its best to try to go ahead and put up several points on the board early. And like I said, try to get Joe Milton in this running back room acclimated quickly to how quick this offense is going to move in a game situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, we don't know what to expect on offense, really. I mean, we know it's going to be high tempo. We saw it the spring game. We know Josh Heupel's style. But I feel like there's more question marks on the defense as far as just core depth goes. So this is a great game to get their feet wet for the season, to really get a lot of guys out there and see what they got, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, there is one point of emphasis that I forgot to mention on the offensive line that cannot be overlooked. You know, you look at the rotation of guys that they have there. Obviously, you've got Cooper Mays coming in at center, Jerome Carvin at left guard, left tackle at Darnell Wright, who is fairly new to that position. He's gotten used to it this offseason. And then right guard, Javonte Spraggins, and right tackle, Cade Mays. So I think one of the bigger questions, too, is to see how early that offensive line is able to get a good push to open those holes for Jabari Small and Tyon Evans, to see how quickly they can establish themselves over what is obviously a weaker Bowling Green front. But given the struggles of this offensive line unit last year and the fact that they're now missing an NFL draft pick in Trey Smith, who's already succeeding in training camp with the Chiefs and in preseason play, that, you know, that it should be really interesting to see how Glenn Ellerbe's unit is able to show out in this first week, because I think that that could go a long way in just determining their confidence going forward into bigger games like Pitt, and then later in the season, obviously, against Florida after they face Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. You know, like you said, guys in different positions, even Cade Mays in a different position from what he normally does. He's played right tackle before, but, you know, this is a little new. But also, yeah, I wanted to mention, we're probably going to see, I mean, I would assume we're going to see both Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey at some point tomorrow night, because, you know, it's probably going to be a pretty sizable blowout. So, you know, we'll have time to put them in there. So what do you expect to see from those guys, and how Heupel will incorporate them into the game plan?
I expect to see a lot of read option from both of those guys. I would expect maybe a few more running opportunities from Hendon Hooker, obviously, just because he and Milton are both geared more toward their legs than Harrison Bailey. But I expect to see plenty of time for both of those guys, at least in the second half, if they don't get in even earlier than that. But I expect to see plenty from both of those guys. And Josh Heupel would not actually name a backup. So it should be interesting to see who kind of determines the pecking order there, if anything, to kind of see who, you know, really stakes themselves as that number two behind Milton going into next week against Pitt.
Yeah, I got you. That's definitely something, you know, all of All Nation will be looking for, of course. But going to Bowling Green, focusing on them a little bit here. You know, like you said, they haven't won a game since 2019, 0-5 last year. Tennessee's going to put them away easily. They're going to put up a lot of stats. But if there's something that Tennessee defense or Tennessee offense should focus on this Bowling Green squad, what is it?
I think it's the you have to get your pass rush going early. You know, we've seen Tennessee's struggles with that recently. And I mentioned that, you know, we may not see a lot of success from that unit early on, that Rodney Garner is still trying to establish something there, still trying to establish that standard. And, you know, we could see some success from guys like Tyler Barron and Byron Young, but to try to get some confidence from that unit as well early on against a Bowling Green offensive line unit that frankly should be really inferior talent-wise. You've got Cade Zimmerle, who is Bowling Green's center. He's a true freshman and is going to be playing in front of a wild Neyland Stadium crowd. They've already sold, I think, over 80,000 tickets from what I've seen. And so I expect to see a packed house tomorrow night. And I think that you could see Tennessee's pass rush try to feed off of that crowd early, off of the new LED lights that they're using, and off of any environmental additions that you could try to give to try to develop that confidence for that unit and try to sack Bowling Green's quarterback, Matt McDonald, early. But you've also got to pay attention to Tennessee's secondary, because McDonald started all five games for the Falcons last year. Obviously, they were not able to win a game, but it should be interesting to see how early Tennessee's secondary is able to establish some confidence against McDonald, maybe try to get a couple picks early, try to make life hard on him. But then it should be really interesting to see how they adjust to that. And then on Tennessee's offensive side of the ball, you've got to worry about Carl Brooks, who is Bowling Green's defensive captain and can make life really rough for Darnell Wright and Cade Mays if they let him. And obviously, like I said before, we saw the struggles last season from Tennessee's offensive line unit. Can they hold off Brooks and a few notable guys on Bowling Green's defense and keep Joe Milton's pocket clean all night? So obviously, like I said, it should be a pretty clean opening game for Josh Heupel's team. What I'm worried about more than anything is I hope that fans don't generate too much overreaction in week one, because given Bowling Green's depth issues and just given kind of the way last year went for them, despite the fact that Tennessee went 3-7, talent-wise, obviously the balls are still a whole lot better on both sides of the ball. So I hope that whenever Joe Milton does air it out and whenever they're able to connect on some of those long passes and generate some hype early and generate some confidence and some buzz, that fans don't completely overreact and think that this team is about to go 12-0 and spank Florida and Alabama and just run all the way to the college football playoff. That, you know, that there is still a lot of building left to do. And, you know, there's a reason that Tennessee put Bowling Green as its first game on the schedule for Josh Heupel. Like I said, it's to build confidence. It's to generate some buzz, as you do for every home opener. You put or try your best to put a cupcake in there that you can run all over and make fans excited. So I hope that fans don't overreact too much to this first game and to what should be a pretty great show from Tennessee's offense, and that they kind of keep things in perspective going into what should be a very, very tough week two test against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Just the talk around campus, of course, I don't want to speak for every student, but you know, it seems like everyone's pretty comfortable with the Pitt game, and they think the first 3 weeks are just going to kind of be a walk, to be honest. And I don't know. I think Pittsburgh could give us a challenge. I would put my money on the Vols, but, you know, like you said, you can't get carried away from week one, especially the players and Heupel and co. So,
yeah. And, you know, I don't think they will. I think that Josh Heupel has done a good job of generating focus into the Falcons and not letting these guys look ahead. But, you know, in Pittsburgh, you've got a tough test coming in, and especially with that being, you know, what's now being called the Johnny Majors Classic, that, you know, Pittsburgh won a national championship under Majors, just like Tennessee had so much success under him. So don't think that those guys are coming in just ready to be walked all over just because Johnny Majors is as important to Tennessee as he was to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Power Five conference team, can't take any of them for granted.
But I'm sure we'll get into that more next week too.
Yeah, of course. And what's your score prediction for tomorrow night?
I think I've, if I remember right from what I put in our group message, I think 49-14 is going to be about right. And I think Bowling Green can get a couple scores late, but I think the Vols are able to put them away pretty well, either late in the first half or early in that third quarter.
Yeah, it's funny you said 49-14 because the spread is actually 35. So
you're right on the money. Great minds think alike.
And let's see, the over-under is 61. So, yeah, you're over on that. I got 45-10, which I'm on the money as well, 35 points. But I'm taking the under on the point total. So, yeah. I mean, it's basically the same, 49-14, 45-10. You're splitting hairs. But, yeah, that kind of – start out early. I mean, we could see him put 30 up in the first half and just kind of take the second half on cruise control, you know?
Right. So,
yeah. Obviously tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, you can watch it on SEC Network. You can stream the game on ESPN.com/watch, radio broadcast at utsports.tv. But most importantly, keep up to date with tomorrow night's game if you can't make it with Jake at jnichols_2121 on Twitter. On everything. Jake, you want to talk a little bit about yourself and kind of recap, I guess, the piece you put out on today's site about you and the season at Neyland?
Yeah, for sure. So so Matt told me a few weeks ago that that due to some things that he's going through, he wanted me to be the guy for us this season in Neyland, which is obviously a big honor for me. I'm very excited to be able to represent Sports Illustrated and just what we've built at VR2 on SI in Neyland this season to bring you all the access in Josh Heupel's first season. So I will be there for us tomorrow night, and it will be a lot of fun. I released a piece, like Jack said earlier today, just kind of an intro on myself for anybody that may not know me or may remember me, at least from baseball season. I covered the baseball team for us from the first game last year all the way to Omaha, which was obviously an absolute blast. And so I am excited to turn that around and take that to the John Ward press box at Neyland. So like I said, just an incredible honor for me, and I can't thank Matt enough for trusting me with this, and I'm very humbled, but I'm also very excited to see you, Jack, tomorrow night and to be able to get rolling this season.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see you too. And I'm excited to see our Vols out there in the classic uniforms. They, confirmed that today. Orange tops, white bottoms, you know, just going out there and taking some names tomorrow night with Bowling Green. Great to be back.
It is. And, you know, I think you can't say enough about to finish up the environment that Tennessee is working to create this season. Danny White, to his credit, has done a great job this offseason of generating some hype for this first season. They're going to have LED lights in Neyland Stadium. There have been videos of that already jumping around on Twitter of what we can expect there. The I will give my all signs on top of the portals as you go into the stadium. I think that's an awesome touch for fans, and just the overall excitement. Like I said, it should be a packed house, and it should be a lot of fun to kickstart the Heupel era.
Absolutely. And people, as far as the VR2 on SI podcast goes, we definitely will have a preview for the Pitt game next week. But if not before then, we will see you then. So, Jake, you got anything else you want to add about the game tomorrow night?
Yeah, just be sure and give me a follow if you don't mind. jnichols_2121. I will have everything for you guys tomorrow night from Neyland Stadium. then obviously if you don't already, then give us a follow at VR2 on SI on Twitter, and then Jack as well at Jack Foster TV. We will have a lot of great content coming for you tomorrow from the VR2 site for Tennessee's home opener. So it should be a great time.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better myself. And everybody, that will do it for this episode of VR2 on SI Podcast. Like I said, we will catch all of you wonderful people next week for sure, if not beforehand. Maybe a recap of tomorrow night. Just depends on how Jake and my weekend looks. But for Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster, and we will see all of you wonderful people next time.